I can't quite get past completely the good things that's happened in the last 10 or 12 days here. I've already talked about it a little bit, but at the beginning of this, I want to talk about it a little more. And then I want to get into some more really serious things as to where these good things are coming from. So stay with us today. Well, it's been a week now, and I'm still thinking about all the events that took place in all things apostolic and in our experience in the last 10 days. It's just been something else. It's been very revelatory. And one of the great things about when you're living in Revelation, like we try to do, is that every day, I mean, you don't have to wait 10 years to see something really spectacular happen. But these events keep cascading into place like little blocks and into the building of what we've talked about before of Proverbs chapter 24, verses 3 and 4. A great house is built by wisdom and understanding, and its rooms are furnished and filled with precious things by understanding and by knowledge. So what are we trying to do? With our lives, we're trying to build a great house out of our lives. That ought to be. You're the temple of God. So the Bible says we're the temple of God. So what kind of temple? Are we trying to be the best temple that we can be? Now, we know God does his part with the filling with the Holy Ghost, and that's what makes us the temple of God. But then from there, the development of the temple of God, so the light shines bright around us. So this is all things apostolic. I'm glad you're here. I'm Nathaniel J. Wilson. We've been doing these kind of things for a long time, not all things apostolic per se, but for decades now. We have been in this ministry of trying to communicate things. Let me just talk about the last 10 days or so. It's just been something else. It actually started with Wilson Academy graduation on Friday night. Wilson Academy is, number one, it's a worldwide online, Wilson Academy Online, K through 12 school that is a service to apostolic people anywhere in America or around the world who do not have a school they're comfortable to send their kids to, or who simply don't want to send their kids to public school or other available educational opportunities. So we just got it all put in place, and the board and all of the detail and the paperwork and the business aspects and the academic aspects and the curriculum. Big job. But it's beautiful. It is really come together. We should have it accredited. It's a little easier to get accredited than as a university. In fact, a whole lot easier. But nevertheless, there is real accrediting to be done if you use a real accrediting agency, and which we have done. So our accreditation should be done this summer, which we are now entering summer, so in another month or two. These schools, like even for probably hundreds of years to a couple hundred years, these schools, like public schools, have not had to be accredited, but now more and more are getting accredited, even public schools. And so we want to be accredited. So from K through university, there is now available an apostolic alternative educationally. So anyway, we have a local campus, Wilson Academy, and it had a graduation. We just started in the last couple of years. It has, I don't know, between 50 and 60 students at this time, and it's growing, but we've developed it slowly on purpose with intent because we want to we want it to be the high quality that we demand. And and it is. So we had a great graduation. It was on Friday night. I've talked about this a little bit, but I'm just so enthused about what's happening. And the graduation saw people graduating who were just remarkable testimonies of the power and grace of God, and also the power of God's people to help people who have looked like they were in hopeless or very close to it situations and would never amount to anything, never had anybody give them the attention that would get them their single parent families. Some of them adoptees and families that had been quite challenging and difficult. Some immigrants and so forth. Anyway, the stories were just incredible. And of course, the kids did presentations and all, and it was just a big lot of fun. But it's grown. There were lots of people there. There was lots of observers there to see what's going on. And it was just something else. So one of the students that got the student of the year top award was Brother and Sister Shepherd's daughter. She's graduating from high school. They're missionaries in Jordan. And we've been to Jordan. We've been to the church. They're doing an incredible work. They're incredible people. And their son and daughter has been in Wilson Academy for several years. And she graduated with an award. Just, I mean, what a kid. And her brother was there, and they were there at the ceremony, flew from Jordan for the sake of their children. What good parents. That's what good parents do. They celebrate their children's successes. It was just something else. It was phenomenal. So anyway, that's when it started. And then on Sunday, as I've mentioned, it was the graduation. But I haven't been able to get over how profound the graduation ceremony was. We've never had one like that. There was an anointing, an air of excitement and expectancy throughout the whole building because they begin to realize many of the things that have been emphasized in this church for decades are now taking place. And these people are finding, in a practical level, a stability in life. They have a skill or they have an education whereby it prepares them and equips them to apply for and to be hired for certain well-paying jobs. So all of that within the local church body is incredible. We had a couple of guys, young men in the church raised there since they were born there physically and then born again there. But now they're young men and they were graduated as welders. And so they wore their welders' hats with a little tassel attached to it in the ceremony. So it was all kinds, but it was a tremendous time all the way up through the university students. And then the doctoral students, we had six people graduate with a doctorate. It was like over the top, never had that before. And then we had Pastor Young and Youth Pastor Boston Young and Pastor Young's wife, Sheila, all three of them. This is, I think I looked at it somewhere. The chances of three people in one family graduating with a doctorate of husband and wife and son at the same time, it was like 1 in 8 million. Well, that's the territory I like. Our whole deal since we started was we ought to be at the top of the leadership list in the entire world, not the tail down here that are struggling along and excusing ourselves when we do have opportunities to change that. So it was something. And then the fact that Pastor and Boston both went to the same university and received the same doctoral degree and were father and son, was, I think, even more than one in 8 million that are less than one in 8 million that accomplished. So, I mean, it was just a great time. And the church celebrated a lot of guests there. This is the key. And it created another swell, another wave of anticipation of positive things, of what it happens when you live for God. And you, so that wave picks up. And Sunday night had a great church service. Then Memorial Day, of course, as we've told you, we had a great picnic. And the picnic was many new people, guests that have never been there before, that came and enjoyed every minute of it. People ate too much, and some of them played ball and got some of it off, but others didn't, like me. So, but it was the whole sense. It wasn't euphoric, maybe, because that's a pretty extreme word, but it was that same spirit of people glad to be together and to have a place, and for this place not to depend upon earthly things to give it an attraction, but actually had a heavenly, ethereal glory to it all, because it's God's people and the light of God's glory is shining out of them. So anyway, I know it was last week I talked about it, but it was a tremendous time. And what I want to talk about on that, though, is all of that is a product of a whole bunch of former waves that keep washing in, that the sources of that are eternal, like the moon controls the tide. So it's like the heavenlies control the spiritual tide. So any church, any pastor, any leadership that claims to be apostolic, that doesn't have their leadership actions tied to the universal, to the God of the heavens, that when people come, they think, feel this magnetism, because heaven's the most magnetic place there is, because God's there, that's the source of life and everything that's good about life. And so the attraction is in the heavenly. But the church, you've got to understand that, because we don't attract people by the lust of the flesh. We don't attract people by lewdness and the world and the fame of the world and the sports that give people and the Hollywood. It's all, you know, fake, but we're real, which is why we're not in that world. And we're real because of the grace of God. We've got real salvation. We've real identity in Jesus Christ and a real future. So all of this intrigues me. It intrigues me. It intrigues me because when we came here 45 years ago now, 1981, now, most churches that have grown to the place the Rock Church is twice as old as the Rock Church. So the Rock Church is an experiment that, if you mix this with this, and then you pour that together, you're going to get a bang. You're going to get a spiritual explosion. You're going to get a spiritual power that cracks the rocks that are holding back the progress of the road, the highway of holiness in the earth. And so I had, you know, some of you know, we pastored in Flint, Michigan when I was 27 years old. We pastored there for 6.5 years. And God just blessed. People that are still in that church that were there then, many have died off, but people that were there then would attest that those were halcyon days that none of us had ever seen before. And in some ways, never seen since then. It was a quick work. There were hundreds that received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds that were baptized. Some people say the numbers, I don't even want to say the number because you'd say they're exaggerating. But it's thousands of people that got the Holy Ghost and got baptized during that 6.5 years. And it rocked the city. It rocked everything. When we built the church at the same site that we'd been on, which was not a really good part of the neighborhood. I've told the story about the old man that walked down the alley behind the church, and I was working the church backed up on an alley. And so the city gave us the alley, and we paved it and made it all nice and had a parking lot contiguous to it. And I was working there on a Saturday by myself, and I was a little ticked off because there wasn't nobody else there helping me in building the new church. And I was cutting a board outside the back door of the newly being constructed church. No church in it yet, but we were building. And while I was cutting the board, an old man with a skill saw, an old man came up. When I stopped, he said, "Son, what are you doing here?" I said, "Well," and I was busy and a little bit aggravated. And so I said, "Well, we're building a church." Like, duh. Pretty well see what I'm doing. He said, "Well, son, you're wasting your time." And I said, "Is that right?" I said, "Well, tell me about it." He said, "Well, what I mean is," he wasn't ugly, he was just being helpful. He was used to the devil, thinking he was being helpful. He said, "Well," he said, "this neighborhood is going down." And he said, "You're investing a lot of money to build this building." And he said, "It's going to end up to be in a bad neighborhood." And he said, "This neighborhood's not going to be changed. And so you're going to have a deal on your hands." And that aggravated me even more. I wasn't in a real strong, friendly mood. And I said, "No, nah, not worried about it." He said, "Why not?" I said, "Because," I stopped and looked at him. I said, "Because the neighborhood is fixing to change because we're here, and we're going to change the neighborhood instead of the neighborhood change our church." So it got him. He walked, shuffled away, mumbling or whatever. Well, we finished this church, it filled up quickly. It was a enormous growth pattern. I've known the numbers for years. I think there was 92 when we went there, and when we left, it averaged the last month 703. I think we hit 900 during that month, that last month. So this was a big deal. So I got a call. And they said, "Well, they're building a new bank one block from your church, and it's a regional bank. It's not just a local outlet. And the president would like to see you." I said, "Okay." We set up a meeting. He and his assistant came to my office in the church, and I introduced myself. I said, "What can we do for you guys?" He said, "Well, Pastor, it's not what you can do for us. It's what we want to do for you." They said, we did our due diligence in searching out before we built this regional bank at this site a block from your church. And the deciding factor that made us choose this site was your church being built here because of the powerful influence it's going to be just by virtue of being standing here in the middle of this city. We were on Main Street. He said, "First, we want to lower your interest rate." And I don't even remember now. It's been a long time ago, but it was a pretty dramatic lowering of the percent of interest for the payment. We'd like to take over that loan from whatever bank you're with. And they said, "Secondly, anything you personally want or need, you come to us. We're going to find a way to make it happen." And he said, lastly, anything that the church needs, you come and see us, because whatever you want, we want to encourage, because of the power of your church being in this neighborhood. I thanked them. We did change the loan. They did save us lots of money. We did go back. They were willing to help us at any time with anything. And finally, when we finished our church, businesses around us started remodeling. Before it was over, there was like 35 businesses in the immediate area that all underwent some degree of remodeling, some of them very extensive remodeling. And then the city came out and repaved the entire street for several miles, especially right in front of our church. And then they had a ribbon cutting, and they called me and they said, "Pastor, would you come and cut the ribbon or say the prayer at the ribbon cutting?" And I said I would be happy to. And I went there. While I was standing out there, there was an old man that owned a Greek restaurant a couple doors down from the church. And he said, he sidled up to me and he said, "Young man," I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "This is because of you and your church that all of this is happening. This whole strip through here for 2 miles is all transformed because of your church." So, and it was true. So, how does that happen? Well, I learned a few things there, and those things that I learned, I pondered. And when I say learned them, I felt like there were times when God gave me expanded revelation about advancing the kingdom of God, particularly from the vantage point of a local church, and how a local church can become an extremely powerful source that reaches way beyond their local city into the world, and how that literally the world can be touched through the ministry of a local church. So how does a local church develop that power? How does it grow, first of all? How does it become? So I had pieces and fragments of this that I knew were right. They'd already worked. They worked in Flint. And so when I came to Sacramento, I had all those things still in my mind. And I thought, nobody's ever taught me this, but I know that this, I'm positive in myself that this is from God. And I want to know with actualization, I want the evidence to be concrete evidence, not just theoretical ideas. And so, so when we came, Sacramento is a big experiment, really, that's what it is. I mean, we've got a Bible written by men we've never met, saying things that we've never seen. We've got a God that we preach about and that we have, we say we have communion with, which of course we do, but we've never seen him either. And he's promised he's going to take us to a place that we've never seen. And the only thing we have is his word for it, for all this stuff. And then, of course, you receive the Holy Spirit. But then you've got all these promises, and then you've got all of these, in my case, you've got these revelations rumbling around, sitting in your office, your little old skimpy office in West Sacramento that was a little old scrabby place, and the office was probably 8 by 8 at the most feet, 8 by 8 feet. And sitting there, less than that, I think, but sitting there pondering after hour after hour, and thinking and praying and reflecting and saying, "God, I believe that you really showed me these things. We're fixing to find out because there's not much here." So, I mean, our first, I think there was 9 people that voted us in, and 3 of them left in the first 2 weeks. I've told that oftentimes, 33% of our congregation we lost. So, but in my mind, I wasn't happy to have no money and no, I had no income. And starting the church, had to get a job. And, but I thought, the truth is, this place is the perfect place. The building was dirty. The former pastor was immoral and had been packing heat and had lied to the county about building projects he'd done on the property, little stuff. And it had become a major deal. It became a national court case, and he beat the county board of the county we lived in, which when you beat the county board, there's another way in which you don't beat the county board, because they're still there after you beat them. And he did it dishonestly. And what they claimed that he'd done in little building project was a restroom was true. It all blew up over a restroom. Anyway, so I went to the county board and apologized and explained, look, he's gone. That's over. I apologize. That's embarrassing because they got egg on their face nationally. So anyway, all that went on, and there was immorality committed in the building, and the building was going into foreclosure in about 30 days or 40 days. There was very, very little income. So what are you going to do? And so really, there was a little part way down in there that said, boy, this is beautiful. This is beautiful. I love this, because this is going to be the great laboratory where we do the great experiment to see if the things that we feel like God has revealed to us combined with the supernatural things you find in the Word of God and the promises that God has given. When you start pouring these things all together, what is going to result from that? This is what I think will result from that. Let's start. So we'll talk about this again a little bit next week. God bless you. Glad you're with us on All Things Apostolic.